This is Anthony Mosley of Clever Action Theater Company.
This is Creola Kizzard Hampton.
I'm LaDonna Tittle.
This is Sam Colas.
You are listening to One Song Playlist
with Dr. Tony Dunbar.
Hi, I'm Tony Dunbar, the host of One Song Playlist. We appreciate you listening to OSPL. And for season one, we are featuring my favorite song, which is Ooh Child by a Chicago family musical group, The Five Stair Steps, which was released in April of 1970. And in that year, our guest Sam Colas was a young college student on the Carbondale campus of Southern Illinois University. She was also in the midst of what she refers to as her personal radicalization, along with many other college students at the time. We caught up with Sam in November of 2020, right after the national election, which lent opportunity for her to share about her decades-long connection to the Socialist Worker Party. This extraordinarily interesting interview covers other topics including art, medicine, and education, as well as the pandemic. I'm sure you'll enjoy this one. Today, I'm honored to have someone that I wish I had a single term to describe someone, right? An academic thinks they can capture something in just a term or two, but the well-roundedness of Sam Colas' life is remarkable. And I was introduced to Sam by my cousin Wynn, who works in a bookstore, and I love to read. And she had an article that Sam gave her pinned in her establishment. And then I looked at it, and just in reading it, I started like, yeah, I remember that bullet, blah, blah, who'd you get this from? And then she said, oh, that's the lady that's from Pathfinder Press, and she comes through, she gives me great stuff like that all the time. I'm like, I have to meet her. So a lot of times I'll say that to my cousin, she's like, okay, when I get around to her, I'm like, no, cuz, I have to meet her. And the meeting you and talking to you has been as good as the anticipation of meeting you. Like, I was excited to meet you, and knowing you has made it even better.
Well, thank you.
With that said, One Song Playlist welcomes Sam Colas as our guest. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
When we were talking, I told you about my podcast, and I have a couple of them that I'm working on, and that is based on a song that happened in 1970. And in 1970, you were 20 years old. And so not everybody has direct relationship to the song itself. Some people have seen it on a movie, weren't alive or around when it was published and released. I was in grade school. So your point of view of this song is of a college person. If I said 1970, what would be the first thing that came to your mind?
Well, 1970 was a year of me opening up to what was happening in the world. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, was raised in a very strict Eastern European family, very Catholic, very traditional. And going away to college opened me up to the social struggles that were happening in the world. I was deeply affected by what I read in the paper about the civil rights movement and saw on TV about the civil rights movement, and also the movement against the war in Vietnam. Like many young people in 1970, I was part of what I would call the international youth radicalization. Young people who were just revolted by the discrimination, the unfairness, the war in Vietnam, the opposition to colonial revolution, all sorts of the oppression of women, the status quo. We were repelled by it, and we were trying to figure out how can we change this into a different kind of system. I remember as a young person, I went to school as a devout Catholic. The last time I went to church, the priest was giving a sermon that spoke out against blacks in Cairo, Illinois, who were organizing against racist attacks.
Right.
They were fighting against discrimination, and literally it became an armed fight against the racist. And that was it. I had many questions before that, but that was like the straw that broke the camel's back.
And you were a student at
Southern Illinois University.
Carbondale.
Yeah. Carbondale.
Yep. Okay. So in 1970, it was
enlightenment might be kind, but eye-opening experience time exactly. in your life. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that I didn't think racism existed, but it was understanding that it was systemic, not just some people with bad ideas, which was unfortunate, but this is how society is organized. And this is how the structures of capitalist society are organized to perpetuate racism and to paper over it, to propagandize it. It's just these few individuals who are foolish. It's not how society is organized.
Right, right.
It's not one of the fundamental ways that a tiny number of rich people get the working majority fighting against each other instead of uniting against a small number of
I get that.
Capitalists.
So again, with the theme around the song, and in 1970, so obviously I was listening to this song and losing my mind as a little kid because it inspired me. What were some of the songs, were there songs that were motivating or inspirational or often played in the circle of college students, soon to be activists, people in your circle? Were there anything that, any music that comes to mind?
Well, a lot of the music of the time reflected what was happening in the streets, because culture reflects society. Not, it doesn't change society, but it reflects what's happening. So all the songs, Ooh Child, What's Going On.
Next year will be the 50th anniversary of that album.
Dancing in the Streets. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are songs that reflected what we were thinking, what we were trying to do, what we were the change we were aspiring for and struggling for. That's what we played it when we got together, because this reflected what we were thinking about.
Actually, art is done is often in, whether it be music, visual arts, whatever it is, the arts have always been cultural reflection, spanning the political spectrum, not just for those causes I'm talking about, but there's music, because folks, the human spirit loves it, so they obviously they're going to want to hear something that reflects how they're feeling and believing.
And all of art, not just music. The murals of Diego Rivera that Rockefeller sandblasted off of the Rockefeller Center because he didn't agree that Lenin could be a part of Diego Rivera's mural. Many of his Diego Rivera mural, of course, his murals in Mexico represent the campesinos who are fighting there. But when he came to the United States, his wonderful Frozen Assets mural that has different layers of society. Here on the top is New York with their giant skyscrapers. In the middle are rich people going to the bank, and on the bottom are the homeless in homeless shelters on cots, sleeping destitute. His murals in Detroit of auto workers making autos, they reflected what was happening in society. So all aspects of culture, music included, but not exclusively, reflected what was happening in society.
So we dropped in on this conversation. I started in 1970, but in the 60s, you were actually in high school during that time, and the show is recorded currently in Chicago, and you grew up in a western suburb of Chicago. I suspect that who you are now was probably not who your parents may have wanted you to turn out to be. I'm just guessing. I may be off with that, but I'll let you take it from there.
My poor mother asked me till the day she died if I regretted dropping out of college. And no matter how many times I explained to her that the education I got in being active in the communist movement was much more valuable to me than anything that I was studying in college, that I learned more in the course of my political activities than I did in a classroom setting. Classes are what teachers are able to teach in school is a little more expanded today than it was in the 70s, but it was very restrictive in the 70s. And finding out more about the social struggles and the history of worker struggles and learning about the history of women's oppression, that women weren't always oppressed, that women played a crucial role in the transition from animals to humans because of our nurturing instinct. And it's actually women who are responsible for domesticating animals, for primitive agriculture, for creating the tools with which they could cook and begin primitive, begin farming, early forms of medicine. This was important because, and this was not something that was being taught in school, far from it. You know, it was like, accept your place in society, that's it, you know. But understanding that it's the system that's responsible for women's oppression, just like understanding that racism was a systemic question, not a question of a few individuals with bad ideas. This was really important to me.
Do you have any fine grammar school or high school memories?
Not particularly. You know, I had lots of debates with teachers about the value of memorization as opposed to thinking and learning.
With friends in the neighborhood, any even non-teacher related, do you have any non-teacher related fine memories of high school or grammar school?
You know, I think of that as sort of an era of ignorance on my part. And what I remember most fondly is waking up to reality and waking up to what was happening in the world.
Even as a younger person?
Well, I always wanted to do nice things and be nice to people and, you know, had a sense of solidarity with people. But the idea that you could really change the world, that wasn't part of my context then.
So you were quite serious when you were younger.
I was like every crazy young person, you know, thought I was the center of the universe.
you were doing it back then too, right?
I didn't understand that you know, it's collective action that really is what can really change things.
So we were talking and you said that you noticed that in your community there in Chicago, there's on the west side or west suburbs, there's Proviso East and Proviso West. And at the time you were saying that you went to Proviso West, but you kind of saw separation and segregation in the context of the different high schools and resources.
So there wasn't a single black face in my high school, not one. I'm not even sure if there was even a Latino, none that I remember. And that was quite different in Proviso East, which was overwhelmingly black, and a school with a lot less resources than Proviso West had, because I went for a summer school typing class to Proviso East. And I was shocked coming from Proviso West, which was a new, well-funded school, lots of windows, very clean, bright, lots of resources, you know, classrooms not overcrowded. Quite the opposite at Proviso East. Quite the opposite. Old, dingy, dirty, dark, very crowded, grim. Mm. It was quite different. And it wasn't an accident.
Say more on that.
Well, that's how segregation worked. And, you know, Malcolm X explained really clearly that what perpetuates oppression is the conditions in which you're living, the opportunities for employment that you have, the opportunities for education that you have, because education gives people a sense of confidence. And really, the capitalists don't want us to have that confidence. It's why education under capitalism is to teach you to obey, to accept your place in class society, and don't make waves.
Yeah, there's a lot of research that says it's a socializing agent. It's not exactly an education. In most instances, it's not an educational, intellectual exercise as much as it is a vocational and socialization. Even if you're getting on that college track, you're being conditioned to work at a certain level or get into certain schools that are geared to do certain things. It's geared to slot you.
Exactly. And those who get into the very fancy schools and graduate from them, they have a sense of entitlement.
And a nice network.
They believe that they're the smart ones who should run things and tell the rest of us stupid people what to do, because we're not smart enough to figure it out for ourselves.
as they stand on their privilege box.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's like we were talking when we were talking, you know, there's a big debate. How do you open the schools? You know, there's a real need for students to be able to go to school, in part just because their parent, many working parents have to quit their job to take care of the kids.
They do.
And in part because students just learn better in a social atmosphere. But what the Socialist Workers Party, that I'm a supporter of, and our campaign explained, is that the schools can only be open safely under the direction of the teachers and staff, who are the only ones who know how it can be done in a safe way. Somebody sitting in an office far removed from it, who has a piece of paper that says they graduated from somewhere and they're really smart, they have no idea how this can be done safely. I have a friend who's a teacher in St. Louis, and the school board and city government were literally discussing opening the schools as long as the COVID rate was 25% or less, which is a horror. I mean, that's a disaster waiting to happen. No other school that I know of, no other school district in the country was considering opening the schools in double digits, let alone at a 25%, up to a 25% infection rate.
At that rate, if you put that many people together, what's it called, herd immunity, you better pray it kicks in, because it's going to move, that thing going to move quick.
That's more like herd infection going to happen there.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Sam Colas. You've been listening to One Song Playlist. One Song Playlist is hosted by Tony Dunbar, and we thank you for listening today and hope you continue to listen.
Hi, this is Tony Dunbar, and thank you for listening to part one of our interview with Sam Colas. There are three parts to this fantastic interview. Part one will be available to the general public and Tier 1 subscribing members of our One Song Playlist Patreon community. On Patreon, you can support this podcast as a subscriber. For more information to subscribe, go to patreon.com/onesongplaylist. That is patreon.com/onesongplaylist. onesongplaylist. There's also great information on our One Song Playlist website, which is onesongplaylist.com.